Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
G&D here on The Fan. We're going to do a lot and in short order. So here's the first order of business. Caller 9, caller 10 at 800-636-1067. You'll win a family four-pack of tickets to Old Glory Rugby Saturday, May 4th versus Utah. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com. That's 800-636-1067. Callers 9 and 10, you guys will be the winners. This radio program right here, Grant and Danny, we're brought to you by the law firm of Condori and Morad, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration, the whole kit and caboodle. Their attorneys are always there. Protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. It is now time for Ye Old Beltway Blitz. Spin you around what's going on in the district in terms of these sporting events and things that you care about. We'll start on the ice. Our pal Mike Vogel, WashingtonCaps.com, joins us to discuss those Capitals. Vogels, when are they going to play round two?
Yeah, that's a good question, Danny. I think we'll know by the end of the night. Talking to Spencer Carberry today, he said they're preparing as if it's going to start on Sunday, but that's only because they know that's the earliest it could start. So I think it could bleed into Monday or Tuesday as well, depending on what happens in the Winnipeg-St. Louis game tonight. How TV runs the show, as we all know. So whatever TV decides it wants in whichever window, that'll be determined by the end of the night. They should wake up tomorrow knowing what their schedule is going to be like for the next couple of weeks.
Vogues, how important was it for them to dispatch Montreal quickly?
Well, I think it was. It became important when Carolina dispatched New Jersey pretty quickly a night earlier. I think of all the possible second-round matchups around the league, all the possible permutations, everything that could have happened, I think almost everyone would tell you this one was the most likely. You had the one against the eight in Washington and Montreal, and kudos to the Canadians. They played well, but the Caps were going to win that series. I think most people thought so, and the same goes for New Jersey and Carolina. New Jersey was banged up going into that series. They got more banged up in game one. They were never really in that series. So I think we kind of knew this was coming. Carolina knew it. Washington knew it. So now I think the more time that each one of these teams has to sort of lick its wounds, whatever wounds it may have lingering from round one, I think the better going into round two, because I do expect that this is going to be a bit of a battle, certainly more than what we witnessed in the first round for both of these teams.
Yeah, folks, going to Carolina, they terrify me. It's not just speed, because a lot of teams have speed. The Caps have some speed, but it's the speed, and it just feels like there's not even room to breathe. There's that extra pressure on every touch, every clearance attempt, every trip through the neutral zone just feels contested, and they're just always there. Again, I can't describe it in better hockey terms than that, but Carolina is, there's a reason they're one of the odds-on favorites to win the whole darn thing. Just talk about them, their style, and the challenges they bring.
Yeah, I think you did a pretty good job of describing it. They just swarm you, and you know, when you look at what they've done here, they've had this is their seventh straight year in the playoffs, seventh straight year they've won at least a round in the playoffs, and seventh straight year they've had Rob Brind'Amour behind the bench. He's the first coach in NHL history to pull that off, making the playoffs each of his first 7 years and winning a round. So these guys are pretty battle tested as far as they know exactly what he expects from them. And all four of their lines, all three of their D pairs play the game the same way. Like you said, for me, it's more of a mindset. They go out there and they know in their head exactly what's expected of them. And it's just the shots come in a fusillade, not just one here, one there. They will rat-a-tat-tat them at you, and then they'll create the traffic and the chaos at the front of the net to try to bury some of the loose change that the original shots create. But they do not want you to get out of your end clean. They want to swarm you, take away your time and space, and try to shorten your decision-making process so that they force you into errors and hem you in your own end, and they can get a change. And now you're sitting there with guys that have been on the ice close to a minute, and they've just poured another fresh five guys over their bench, and they're coming at you hard again. And typically, when they're at their best, what you see is a bunch of high flips to just alleviate the pressure. It's a Band-Aid on a bullet hole, just flipping it out to the neutral zone, trying to race to the bench for a new set of guys who are going to come in and be under siege again. So for me, in the playoffs, you're trying to take away the momentum or hold on to the momentum yourself. For me, this team, this opponent, is more about neutralizing what they do, not just in the playoffs, but for all 82 of the games of the regular season and for the last 7 years. They are probably the most easily defined team that remains in the playoffs. Everybody knows what they do. Everybody knows what's coming. It's a matter of defending. It's not unlike the goals that keep coming from Alex Ovechkin in his left dot office. You know they're coming. Good luck trying to stop it. And it's kind of the same thing with the Hurricanes and their forecheck.
Folks, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Yep, thanks. You guys too.
We will see you, buddy. Hit that NFL sounder, please. Our pal Benjamin Brown from The Score joins us to talk about the NFL. Benjamin, how many seasons of high-quality football, if any, does Matt Stafford have left?
Oof, that is a good question. I would say at least one more. Obviously, when how things ended towards the end, it looked like a little bit of a rebuild and teardown. I do think running it back one more season with Stafford does make sense. But yeah, I would say maybe two. Maybe he gets a Rodgers-type deal next season. But I think anything after that is very much, too far, too low, and kind of going to be the Aaron Rodgers situation that we've seen play out the last couple of seasons.
Tells you how fast time goes. It seemed like just yesterday that, I was intrigued by Jaire Alexander in the draft. Now he and the Packers are having some discord. Just give me your assessment. I remember liking him coming out of the draft. It's not as if I followed Green Bay religiously or closely. I feel like he's pretty good. But what's going on there, and what might the solution be?
Yeah, it is obviously, always a question. I think Alexander has been, good from what, definitely a PFF grading standpoint. I think in a lot of ways they have had these discussions previously, a little bit of disconnect. From a contract standpoint, this is the first time Alexander's kind of, gotten back and forth with the Packers. To me, he's definitely a guy that can still play. Obviously, run defense is a little bit more of a question mark, but he can legitimately be, a shutdown type corner. I think earlier on in his career, he much more was thought of kind of that, has had some in and out type seasons. But I think overall, you are getting a guy that's, going to be a top 20 type player at the cornerback position. And given the weak link sort of nature of the position, that's always the guy that's going to find a roster spot for sure for the next couple seasons.
This is open-ended here. What are the New York Giants doing?
I think it's, a situation where, are they kind of going to go in a complete reset, throughout the entire organization? Like Brian DeBoer obviously has had a couple seasons, at the helm. Like I think really understanding You know, what they can do with him at the quarterback position is really going to speak to if he's kind of in line to potentially make a top end draft pick next season at the quarterback position. Again, you know, obviously they went with Jackson Dart this year, but I still think they're a team that feels a little bit further away, especially in the NFC East, given the top end talent that we're going to see in that particular division as well. So I think they definitely need to kind of move in a positive direction. Ideally, Jackson Dart would answer the question for what they need at quarterback in this situation. And they're kind of in that spot where they're in pick 10, pick 15, feeling good about potentially kind of closing the gap in the NFC East after next season. I think that has to be, you know, in some ways the blueprint for what the Giants are at least trying to establish and do and get on the right direction and really kind of be an NFC type of contender here in the next couple seasons.
Benjamin, of course, power rankings are meaningless and silly and don't mean anything other than just, you know, something to talk about in cannon fodder. So here are some power rankings. Now, so post-draft, NFL.com has kind of this group of five at the top. You could shuffle them up, and I think everybody would be just fine, whether it's Philadelphia, Baltimore, Kansas City, Buffalo, and Detroit. Those, to me, are kind of the, I don't say they're separate from everybody else, but there's good enough track record, a lot of success, a lot of wins in there, Super Bowl contenders just on paper right now this minute. Washington was sixth on their rankings, part of that next group of Washington, Tampa, the Rams, Green Bay, Minnesota. Do you agree with me that group of five at the top should be separate, and then that next group of five is kind of a similar phenomenon where you could sort of shuffle them up and make an argument for anybody?
Yeah, I mean, I think in that scenario, there is like very much still a little bit of the top end distinction in both those categories to me, because, you know, even going back to the Washington Commanders question in particular, like they are a team who has hit on the rookie quarterback. And I think they've done, for all intents and purposes, maybe besides at the position, have kind of answered every single question that you would want them to answer coming up in this offseason. I think in a lot of ways, you know, they're maybe making their way a year behind what the Texans in a lot of ways tried to do. And I think they are kind of that team that could potentially close the gap. Now, what you think of the rest of the NFC is going to kind of make up, you know, where they inevitably end up landing. But I do think that, you know, given the Chiefs and what I, you know, appreciated with their draft, given what Philadelphia did in the draft once again, like I do make the distinction that they are kind of the clear two again. And then three through five, I would probably make a case more so that it's like we have a top two in the NFL and we're kind of sitting here, you know, three through eight. And there's a lot of teams that could potentially enter that eighth, ninth, tenth kind of spot when it's all said and done as well.
Benjamin, thank you as always, bro. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. Have a great show.
Thank you, pal. Hit that local 53 sounder. That's Michael Phillips' music, Odyssey Richmond and the Richmonder. We love having him talk about the local football team. So, Miguel, obviously got to ask you stadium-type questions, not to do a you know, the local politics hour, which seems like Grant and I have been, you know, delved deep into council business here. But to me, and I want to see if you agree with this, short of something that's impossible, a.k.a. changing the name back to the previous thing, this is the best olive branch for fans my age and older that still have some nostalgia.
Right, the details are what we're arguing about. We're arguing about tax money and parking revenues and municipal bonds, like all the really exciting things I know you want to do radio about every day. Yeah, but like everybody agrees, like 99.9% of not just listeners, but people in the D.C. area and the Virginia area agree this is where the stadium needs to be. This is the good memories, the nostalgia, the best spot for people to gather. I think that's indisputable at this point, Danny. Like, this is where everybody wants it to be. And now, you know, now the other fun stuff.
We're going to do this next, Miguel, so I want to give you a chance, put you on the spot here. What's your elevator pitch? Let's say you're riding up the elevator with Josh Harris. He's like, hey, how's it going, Michael? What floor are you going to? So, like, Josh Harris, Mayor Bowser, a couple council members, like, key decision makers. And everyone's looking at you. You go to these games, right? You're a man on the scene. What's the new stadium got to have? What's the thing that has to happen? Logistically, transportation, amenities, whatever. What's a got to have thing for you? You're riding the elevator. Elevator pitch, go.
Yeah, it's got to have juice, you know, and you know it when you see it, right? It's one of those things. I've been to every active stadium now, Danny. The best ones, you want to go before the game. You want to hang out. You feel like you're a part of a community among the fan base. You go in on the concourse, you feel people are chanting, people are cheering, you're in the stands, it's noisy, it's loud. You know, and not to beat up on the current place, because we've done, I guess now 27 years of radio doing that now, but it's not noisy and loud, and it's not community because it's in a parking lot. So I think, you want to really lean into that downtown feel. You want a gathering spot, a pep rally spot, a pregame spot where people are feeling like, man, I'm not just going to a football game. I'm part of the community here. I'm part of a bigger network of people, and then in the stands, not I am in my luxury seat, with my cup holder enjoying a lovely American football game, but you're loud, you're rowdy, you're cheering the team on to victory. You're providing that juice. We see how much home field advantage means, and it's a rare chance to create it. Watching with the Clippers, their new stadium, right? Mm-hmm. It's a great stadium, big TVs. Yeah, I'm sure they have lovely food and all that, but the thing it's really got is the juice. You feel that crowd right on top of you in there. That means something.
Are you old enough for the SNL skit? You like the juice, huh? Juice is good for you. Are you too young?
I'm too young. Who's in that one?
That's a Rob Schneider bit. It was the dumbest sketch of all time, but they did it a few different times. So it was after the John Belushi cheeseburger, Coke, no Coke fry.
I got that one, Billy Goat Tavern.
Yeah, yeah. So the later version was this one place where like someone was like, like Mike Myers like would play the straight man or film and be like, hey, is it okay if I have some more of the juice for my lamb or whatever? And he would go, you like the juice, huh? The juice is good. I get you more juice. So that's what I was thinking about when you were talking. Anyway, real football question.
My kid came home from school the other day. She said my teacher showed us this funny video today. It was a guy, and they kept telling him to play the cowbell louder, and it was really funny.
Oh my god!
I failed you as a parent.
She's like, apparently this is on the internet somewhere. I'm like, oh my god, I'm 1,000. There are a lot of names that people recognize on the free agent list for defensive ends, or edges, I guess we have to call them now. Von Miller, Matt Judon, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, because you're white, Brandon Graham. Do you think one of these guys, kind of post-free agency, post-draft, might fit this Peterson Company one-year deal to kind of continue this Bobby Wagner trend, for lack of a better term for it?
Yeah, I mean, I just think certainly in terms of snap counts, you need one more warm body in there. Like, I don't think all the snaps are accounted for right now. And, maybe that's bringing in young guys. Maybe that's the one-year deal. I love the one-year deal. I think they've worked it really well so far. I think this is a compelling sales pitch to make to a player and to a guy late in his career as well. I think you saw that last year with Ertz and Wagner. They both enjoyed spending their year here, kind of revived their career a little bit. Wagner didn't need it as much as Ertz did, I think. But they both felt really great about playing here. And yeah, I think there's room for one more guy who can take 40 to 45 snaps a game. And I think you're going to need that. Nothing against Armstrong and Farrell. You can't play them 100% of the snaps and say with a straight face, we're happy with our pass rush. They're going to need one more.
Michael, thank you as always for your time, sir. Enjoy the weekend.
Danny, take care.
We'll see you, brother. There he goes. And that, right there, that's how you blitz. If you're at home going, how do I blitz? I don't even know what to do. What do I even do if I want to blitz? How do I even blitz? That's how you do it. You listen to that segment. You can rewind it on the Odyssey app. And we put on a clinic today on how you blitz. We gave away two prizes. We got guys calling different guests in the middle of the segment. Darius sits the sounder. Now, when I first went to Michael Phillips, he was still not on. But still, it worked out fine. It worked out fine. He came on mid-answer, and we tried to play it off, but it's fine. It's fine. But you heard me ask Phillips the question, and we're going to do this next. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Haven't done this in a while. Elevator pitch style, okay? So for me, down the line, once it's built, once it's done, I'm going to tell Josh Harris, he's like, hey, Danny, what's going on? I'm like, Josh, you keep those opposing fans out. Show me potato salad. Show me huge efforts. They're going to get in. They always do. Somebody like knows a Cowboys fan, or someone's like weirdly friends with an Eagles fan, or somebody knows a Giants fan. That's going to happen. They're going to invade. It's the nature of the business. The point is, make a huge production for me to show me that it's important to you that Washington fans are going somehow, some way. That's all I ask for. Give me a big song and dance. But I might be talking about to that degree. We're in the building phase. We're in the, hey, there's a glass roof and it faces west, so the sun's going to shine. Or I don't want it to shine. Or the sun needs to only shine on the opposing sideline. Or the sun needs to shine on the end that the opposing team's going to. Or you need to pipe in crowd noise. Or you need to have fun boat rides. Or you need to have a Ferris wheel. Whatever the thing that you want, that's a must-have in this new stadium in Washington, D.C.? Elevator pitch. It's you. It's the mayor. It's a couple key council members, a couple of the big swingers that are hanging out that are making these kinds of decisions. And they're like, hey, what's up, dude? What do you think the new stadium has to have? 800-636-1067. Elevator pitch us next.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
I got a good question from one of those sports gambling kind of accounts. You know, they're like, it sounds like I'm being dismissive, but it's a little bit engagement for me, right? Where they're throwing chum into the water and I'm, you know, I bit on this one. So I'll bring that up at 5. I actually think it's good fodder for discussion. Also got a little Grant and Danny's Tony's mailbag today because it's Friday. You know what I'm saying? It's Friday. Darius has been, during commercial breaks, just warming up. Singing. He did an entire opera in A major. We're just saying words. I have no idea if that's right or not. 800-636-1067. Welcome back. It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan. GP is at the daddy-daughter dance, which is awesome. So I am flying this good ship the rest of the way before we yield to the Washington Nationals, who are in Cincinnati. 800-636-1067 is the number. Here's what I'm doing with you guys. Your elevator pitch. When we're talking design, when we're talking what has to happen, you've seen a little bit of the renderings. You've seen a couple things about what the ideas are, okay? And you guys on hold, stay there. Everybody else, line up, 800-636-1067. Imagine it's you, Josh Harris, maybe Mark Ein, maybe Mitch Rales, maybe Magic Johnson's in there, which would I'd probably be too verklempt and nervous to talk to him because that's Magic Johnson, bro. And he's one of the owners of the team that I love, by the way, which is still so crazy. Anyway. The mayor, D.C. council, whatever, and they're like, hey, bro, what do you want in the new stadium? Give me your must-have. 800-636-1067. Here's the way I would quantify my answer. We'll hear from Darius, Ryan, and Tobias in a moment. Here's my answer. However I want to do it, I want to be able to do it. What does that mean? If I'd like to swoop in, walk over at, you know, let's say I'm a local or I'm hanging out somewhere. If I want to go at 12:30 and walk over to the stadium, swipe my little thing, go to my seat, do it, and leave. I want to be able to do that. If I say for a 1 o'clock game, I want to go full tailgate Ted on this thing. Now, we're not going to have the tailgate spots, but bear with me. 1 o'clock game, I'm there at 8:05, and I'm getting brunch at one spot. I'm playing bags at another spot, or I'm playing horseshoes, or a million. Whatever I want to do, I want to make a day of it, or I want to be in and out. I want to go to a restaurant over there. I want to not go to a restaurant over there. I don't make me do something. Does that make sense? At Nubs Field, They made you do something. If you wanted to take the Metro, they made you either try to do a stupid shuttle, walk along a busy street. They tried to prevent that. They made you tailgate. And it was fine if that's what you wanted to do. But they made you do it a certain way. The whole point of this location is however you'd like to consume it, you should be able to consume it. So if I want to come via water taxi, because I was over at over by Nats Park grabbing a little slushy pregame situation at the Salt Line, get myself a stuffy, and then I roll and hop onto the boat, you know, haul my fat buttocks right up the road, or up the river, so to speak, jump out and go into the stadium, I want to be able to do that. If I could take an Uber to get close by and not pay the parking, I want to be able to do that. However I want to do it, I want all the conveniences and everything set up so it's, no, you got to do it this way. I keep pointing to New Orleans, boys. Remember how New Orleans was? However you'd like to consume at the Superdome, you can. You get inside the grounds, and it's, you want to go right to the game? You can. You want to eat inside? You can. You want to go in? You want to go out? You want to go to the beer garden? You want to go to the hot dog place? Whatever you want to do. You want to sit on Bourbon Street until midway through the first quarter and drunkenly shuffle over because you're holding a hurricane? Whatever butters the pickle, you could do it that way. I want to be able to do it however I want to do it. Darius, what's your must-have?
I'm actually going to go back to New Orleans as well. And I just thought that the way that the plaza was set up, once
that
you get in there,
was so great.
That plaza was absolutely incredible. And I want an experience like that here. There's nothing at the current iteration of the Washington Football Team stadium that has anything like that, where you can walk into a area right outside of the stadium and basically party there. I guess there is kind of something like that, but it's more exclusive. This is more the way New Orleans had it set up. It was more open to the public and open to anybody that had a ticket. You didn't have to buy a special ticket to be able to get access to it.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I don't say obsessed with that, but that's now my favorite thing, having gone to almost any stadium, was the way, and that hadn't been there forever, but it's the way they do it now, where in order to avoid that necessary logjam getting into the actual stadium that everybody's experienced in any sport, right? You go to the center field gate at Nats Park at 6:50, or not 6:50, whatever, if they start at 6:45 now, at 6:35, you're going to be waiting and waiting and waiting and inching forward. It's just normal. There's a logjam. They do that 500 yards, 1,000 yards, whatever the number is, away from the gates. So that happens at a staggered pace, and once you're inside, free reign. That is a beautiful system, and it's awesome. Rhino, what's the thing that you got to have?
I got to have something unique, and just kind of hear me out with this one. With Jerry's World in Dallas, you have the massive scoreboard that ranges like 80 yards. That's unique, and that's really cool. Down in Tampa Bay, they've got the pirate ship out for Raymond James Stadium. That is an awesome feature there. So something with the Commanders, they have to have something unique. If it's like a total glass stadium that we've seen kind of renderings of with the glass ceiling that can then tint to dark, whatever it is, have something unique that you can really kind of hold on to and say, this is a cool feature to the stadium. So it's not really something that is very specific here, but I just want something cool and unique I can brag to.
I know what you mean. I wonder what would satisfy. I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm with you on that. Tobias.
It's an incredibly niche thing, and I haven't been to tons and tons of football stadiums, but this is more so what I've seen in ballparks for baseball, and I would love it incorporated in football. When you go up into the concourse, think of Camden Yards, think of what Nationals Park. When you go up through Camden Yards, you walk outside, you can no longer see the field. When you leave Nationals Park in the lower bowl, you get up to the top, you can still see the field. When I'm in the concourse, I want to be able to see the football field. I want to be able to walk around and still see the field. I don't want to walk out of tunnels, which FedEx Field has now, except for on the ends, you can still see in the end zones. But when I'm walking around, if I want to go grab a hot dog, I want to still be able to feel like I'm a part of the action, not like I'm suddenly outside.
Mm-hmm. I like that. 800-636-1067. Elevator pitch style, what do you got to have here in this new DC stadium? Let's go to Drew in Graysonville. Drew, what's up, buddy?
Hey, good to talk to you again. You know, so one, I saw you guys in New Orleans. I go to a lot of the away games, and I'm at the tailgate lot, 7:30 for a 1 o'clock game. Mm-hmm. So I've been thinking about this. And one is balancing the size of the stadium and the corporate revenue and the fan engagement, right? So there's lots of concerns. We do have an opportunity for unique waterfront and downtown D.C. stuff. But Joe Seiden said earlier that keeping the fans close was a secret at RFK. And they did that because it was a baseball stadium and it was temporary seats for football. And they really got the fans closer to the field. I think you want the fans closer to the field. And I think you want more Commander fans. And that's, I think, what gets the juice going to you know, the guy you had on. And so one thing you can do is incentives for Commander fans to not resell the tickets. Either, you know, maybe make them a little higher and give a rebate back if you keep them, or you give them to friends rather than putting them on the secondary markets. I think that there's ways, or like what the Caps did, would limit the ownership to certain zip codes. Of course, I'm in the Eastern Shore, so that better be part of it. I also think the post-game experience. I mean, right now when the game is over and you're at FedEx, you kind of have to leave. And if we're downtown in D.C., you know, if there's a waterfront and bars and restaurants, because football games, especially 1 o'clock games, get up kind of end a little bit early. So there's room for that. There's also room for getting the current fans there, like maybe starting the PSL process earlier and having a way to prepay some of that. So the people that are there, and I know, you know, I talked to Tailgate Ted and Steve Moore, Rally Captain, and those guys, people are concerned about the PSL.
Oh, sure.
You know, have a payment plan for that that starts earlier. And, you know, in Detroit, they had tailgates off, like a mile off with carts running back. So there's ways to still let tailgates happen. And I do think that using the waterfront and boat gating and that kind of stuff.
I think that's the thing, man. Yep. Drew, I love the call, buddy. Really appreciate you making it. 800-636-1067. Elevator pitch style. So down, he was talking about kind of something that I feel strongly about down the line. Once it's built, practices to deal with fans. I'm talking more about the construction part. I'm talking more about the nuts and bolts and the bones, right? The thing I'm asking for is thoughtful planning. So to a lot of things that Drew was talking about, if I want to come by boat, if I want to walk, if I want to Uber, if I want to drive and park, if I want to tailgate, if I want to get hammered in a bullpen-like lot like they have at Nats Park hours before the game, if I want to eat brunch, go to a restaurant, if I want to show up at 7:45, eat my flapjacks and you know, have a Sunday fun day all day before the game. I want to be able to do whatever the hell I want to do. The beauty to me of the urban environment is A, the location is central for everybody, but B, it should offer the thing that I'm talking about. However you'd like to consume it, you can consume it. Make sure that's available. Make sure that's thoughtfully done. Elevator pitch, 800-636-1067. Your call is next on The Fan. GP's out the rest of the afternoon for a good reason. Little daddy-daughter dance, one of the cool things that he still gets to do, which is awesome. So I am happy to steer this good ship the remainder of the way. In theory, the Nats play at 6:10. There is rain in the forecast there in Cincinnati. Vic was breaking down the JT the Vic. Vic was breaking down all the different weather systems and different things that are possible there. He was talking about cold fronts and pressure, and the whole time Ryan was just stewing. Because like he was kind of getting his thunder stolen by Vic. But anyway, topic of the moment. At 800-636-1067. Elevator pitch style. The thing that this stadium during design, etc., it's got to have. What does it have to have? Down the line, and a couple of callers have brought this up, and something that I always bring up, is you need to make a big song and dance to show me that you want local fans. Everything you could possibly do to keep opposing fans out. It makes me miserable. It's the biggest reason why I won't go to Nubs Field. I won't do it. I had such a miserable time for tickets that I paid for, getting screamed at by nothing but Cowboy fans in my whole section. I said, I can't believe I paid for this. I'm never doing this again, and I haven't since. And I won't, by the way. Turned down free tickets for decades. So with this new stadium, I want to be able to do, here's my answer, just to give you guys a baseline, 800-636-1067. I want to be able to consume it however I want to consume it. There's basically one way or a huge hassle at Nubs Field. You take the metro, you walk a mile, or you drive and you deal with whatever comes with driving. I want to be able to utilize this urban environment and consume this thing however I'd like to. Stroll in at 12:30, just do a little beep on some security thing, walk to my seat, walk out. I want to be able to hang out for 7 hours before the game starts. Whatever the case, let me do it how I want to do it. That comes from thoughtful planning. 800-636-1067. Dre Manassas is very patient. What's up, man? What's your must-have?
Well, first of all, I caught your first segment about slides and socks. See, these young dudes, they grew up on John Wick. We older men, we grew up on James Bond. So, I mean, that's you know, James will never do that.
Like, literally, Dre, ever. Ever.
Yeah, what would James do, you know? I think if we're going to have this glass ceiling, you know, like how you go to, like, a planetarium when you were a kid and then the entire ceiling would change to show you different constellations, different stars. Imagine if you can have, like, a night game during the day. Because they just changed the entire ceiling just became dark and you had stars and all that good stuff. I would think it would be cool if they can have that glass ceiling be a part of the experience and they can change. You could do all kinds of different things, not just lights, but even just graphics and so forth. I think that would be pretty awesome.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Kind of like the Sphere in Vegas where you could project stuff and all sorts of things. Yeah, I mean, have that kind of technology. And if you don't have it right now, have it so that you can have it. Set things up for future adaptation and development. All about that. Let's go to Chase in D.C. Chase, must-have, elevator pitch.
Yeah, so my must-have is a tailgate, but we can't do that. So I said Grubhub. They had it in about 2017, 2018. It was a 2-liter of soda with chicken fingers and french fries on top. When I tell you I was grubbing this thing down as a 9-year-old, I was grubbing the Grubhub down.
The Grubhub. Mm-hmm. So is that a concession item or is it like available on campus or close by? Yeah. Again, the thing that I'm very cognizant of, and I don't mean to be dismissive, and I know picking on isn't the right word, but it's like I use Tailgate Ted as the example all the time when it comes to this. The guys and gals that patronized you before you owned the team, talking to Harrison Company, okay, all they've ever done is spend the money, show up, be dedicated. You're taking away something from them that they love. It's for the greater good. And it's a trade-off. It's a sacrifice that I think I don't mean to say I'm just, you know, throwing them under the fire, but that's kind of the deal. This trade-off, I think, is necessary as part of this urban stadium situation. What are you going to do for them? What are you going to do for the Tailgate Teds of the world? I think that's an essential question, and it's meaningful, honestly. Because, again, all Ted's done is what you would want a fan to do. I have not, by the way. So don't worry about me as much as you should worry about the guy that kept paying the bill. I had a thing years ago with my cell phone company, right? Where my cell phone company that I had been with for, I think, almost a decade, had all these great offers for new customers and new this and new that, sign up for this, get this great deal. And 6 days before it was a new every two for my phone, I dropped it and I broke it. I'd been a customer for 9 years, 300 days and like, you know, or whatever, 314 days or some kind of crap, whatever it was. I was literally 6 days away from my new every two. So I called the customer service. I said, hey, I'm a couple days early here. Can I have a new phone and or can I do this? And he said, well, you're welcome to send it and get it fixed. And this costs $X. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. You're going to give a free phone to the guy that's not a customer, but the dude that has been paying you for a decade. You couldn't do one nice thing for. So I told him I'm leaving, and he didn't care. But that's the point. Don't be the cell phone company that told me to kick every rock. Do the right thing here. Let's go to Matt in Florida. Matt, elevator pitch for a must-have in the new stadium.
What's going on?
Hey,
so I think it'd be kind of awesome if they had a tank on the field. If you're going to kind of not get back with the old name, I think you got to lean into the Commander's name and really kind of buy into it. Let's get a tank out there.
What's the tank? Is the tank going to do anything? Or like if they score, is it shooting off a blank?
Correct.
Uh-huh.
So if they're scoring, I want two tanks crossing each other and they're firing off like they do at the Terps games where they fire up cannons, but we got tanks.
Listen, people are going to dismiss what Matt said. Let's not dismiss it. That's all I'm saying. I don't know the logistics of having an enclosure and having a tank fire something off. I don't know how that would go. You wouldn't want to see that? You wouldn't want like a I'm not talking maybe like a full M1A1 Abrams situation. Like we're not rolling into to Paris here to liberate folks. Maybe one of the smaller ones. One of those like little solo tanks, like a Warthog kind of a deal, right? Where with the stupid diabetic mascot piloting one of them, where they're zipping back and forth when they score a touchdown.
You won't get a Warthog from Halo 1.
You see what I'm talking about? You don't want a Warthog from Halo 1? Touchdown, Washington, stupid name. The boom, the boom, the boom. Hail to the thing, right? You're not in? Nobody's in? Let's go to Wendell in Springfield. Mr. Wendell, what's up, buddy?
I'm in with Matt. Great idea from Matt, I'll be honest.
The tank, yeah, right?
I mean, it's actually a brilliant idea. We have the cannons firing off from the tanks, possibly having, I think Draft said this before on the Junkies, a pig smoking a stogie. It'd be really cool.
Right.
I'll be dead honest. My elevator pitch, though, as long as they make the stadium of notable size, that's my thing.
Like, interesting.
I do want it to be the biggest show in town because Capital One, to me, love it to death, but a little bit outdated at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I do think if we're going to do something new in the city, let's make it big. Like, I've been to Jerry World before to see the guys play, and that'd be my whole thing. So appreciate you, Daniel.
Thank you, Wendell. Appreciate you. So I will say this. That's not the trend line. That's not the trend. And that doesn't mean he's wrong, by the way, but you're thinking – a more confined space. This isn't the Jerry World suburb stadium, right? It's not the initial design of Nubs Field back in the day in the late 90s where you had almost 100,000 people. It's not a college town. This isn't the Big House. It's not Beaver Stadium. The trend is to be in the 60s, and I think they're basically going to go just over the minimum to be able to get Super Bowl, Final Four, World Cup, whatever. But that's interesting because that's not where stadiums are going at this point. It's now that intimate, more intimate atmosphere, more right on top, more cheating with noise, bouncing stuff like Seattle does. I want that, by the way. Cheat. Get me all sorts of cheating stuff where all the sound reflects toward the visitor sideline. Give me that. I want all that stuff. Give me faulty wiring like New England does so that the headset doesn't work in the fourth quarter. Give me all that crap. Cheat. Anyway, I appreciate the calls on this. I got a little story here. I think it's just going to be a fun conversation. Little fun tweet from one of these sports gambling outlets of note that actually I think it might be a fun combo to throw the ball around on a little bit. Plus, I tried to go cheap, and it all came crashing down. We'll do that next.